Let's finish chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Would you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? And we will start. In a way, it's a good thing for people to realize that all the people are equal under the law. Whether they are black, Hispanic, white, American Indian, or Oriental, a man or woman, they have an equal right in America, supposedly, right? Nowadays, if you have to be extremely careful with what you say in public gathering or workplaces or social media for that matter. If you don't follow the guidelines they set, you will be stamped as politically incorrect person. Nevertheless, the liberals use this political correctness as a tools to persecute and to go take advantage of the oppressed Christians, conservatives, and morally upstanding people. If you think that they do not oppress Christianity, you are not really awakened. Look at the media. They will praise Islam. Even though they behead people, they do all these wrong things, they will not talk anything against a Muslim. But Christianity is open season. Due to the unwanted sexual advance by the perverted male, there's no other way to say it, perverted male, a new social movement started in 2017. You guys know this. Hashtag MeToo movement. A movement started through the Twitter, social media. I don't have a problem with the original concept, which is sexually victimized people, women, speaking out against the male perpetrator or the rapist publicly. They did not have a voice, now they do. But like many other social movements, it started taking a wrong turn. It became an accepted platform, the form of a lynching mob, self-appointed prosecutor, self-appointed jury, self-appointed judge, and self-appointed executioner. All they need is a woman with an accusation against a man, whether it's true or not. She said the sobbing story on the MeToo, hashtag MeToo movement. Then with the many likes and positive comment, that man's career and the life is over. Really. There are many of them who deserve that kind of treatment. But at the same time, there are people, how do you know that that man is really guilty? Let me make a fine example. Hashtag MeToo talked about in their platform. They talked about the Judge Kavanaugh during the Judge Kavanaugh's hearing, Senate hearing. I heard one lady said this. She's a part of this MeToo movement. She said, I'm going to quote it to you. She said to this to a reporter, since this woman came forward against him, the senator must believe that he is guilty. Where is the due process? Legal process is pretty much out the window. Supposedly, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. Am I correct? If you want that kind of application to apply to yourself, then you should apply to others. In God's eyes, all people are absolutely equal. God is colorblind when it comes to this difference in skin color. God is not impressed with a man's stupid macho attitude, nor was he impressed with a woman's stuck-up attitude. And you're thinking, I know you ladies thinking, how dare you? Truth is the truth, isn't it? Keep your finger in the 1 Corinthians. Go to Galatians chapter 3, please. Galatians chapter 3, please. I'm going into the wrong direction. This is the reason why we used to recite the book names. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Thank God he doesn't treat me any different because I'm a little off. You know that? And I know some of you are thinking, little? Way off. Even though the ground at the foot of Jesus Christ is leveled, God gives a different responsibility to man and woman. It means that God put some in charge of the situation to take a responsibility. The order of God in responsibility is women under authority of man. I know some of you ladies are picking up rocks. Slow down. It's not something I say. It's what the Bible says. So that men have more responsibility and more accountabilities with God. I know that this is a politically incorrect statement. However, God really does not care about being politically correct. Nor do I. In chapter 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul teaches us everything must be done in order. Am I correct? Because our God is not the God of confusion, but in order. We are going to read a portion of the scripture that would cause 21st century biblically ignorant people to condemn it because of their own biblical ignorance and taking the scripture out of context. Remember what I said. Whenever you take the scripture out of context, it becomes pretext. And it's no good. In the next 30 minutes or so, I want all of you to pay attention to what God speaks to you through this portion of the Word of God. And that has absolute truth and the final authority. Are you with me on that? If you don't agree, this is a good time for you to leave. Let's stop and pray. Father, the world says many things against you, against what we believe in Jesus Christ. But we thank you for pulling us out of the muck and mire and the horrible past. Give us a firm foundation on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. We thank you for the grace through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wisdom and the anointing to understand your word through Holy Spirit. We could not comprehend your word. We could not understand even the tiny portion of your grace without you, Father. Father, we are asking you again, extend your anointing toward us that we may understand this politically incorrect portion of the scripture, that we may not do anything we want, but only do the things that glorify you, exalt you, and honor you. Father, we acknowledge that you are the God of order, not confusion. Teach us. And your anointing upon the one who speaks. Father, we're asking a blessing upon the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Let them do what is right in your sight for your glory alone. And we pray for our soldiers, especially the one in the harm's way, away from their families. Keep them safe. And we also pray for the first responders. It's been terrible 2 weeks for our law enforcement personnel across America. Several officers have been killed. Father, comfort their families, comfort their friends. Through this difficult time, they may come to know you if they don't know you. And those who know you may have a peace that comes from you alone. And we also pray for the firefighters. During this cold time, it will be hard for them to fight against the fire. Protect them, keep them safe. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we complain about this weather. And then I see the East Coast below, like at 12 degrees or minus whatever. It's like, I'll stay here. All right, verse 34 in chapter 14 in 1 Corinthians, please. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Verse 35. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husband at home. For it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Stop there, please. The concern of the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, stay with me. Concern of the 1 Corinthians 14 is orderly assembly of the congregation. This is not about the putting women down or the treating them as if they are the second-class Christians. Rather, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is teaching us the proper order of the church services, as he already taught us about the proper usage of God's spiritual gift, mainly speaking in tongue and speaking prophecy. The best way to understand and interpret the Bible is using the Bible, this great inerrant book, Bible. Many great theologians can write the commentaries with the insight from the Holy Spirit. They are very helpful. However, no one can write the book like this book, Bible. Why? Because it was written by God Himself, using 40 different authors in 3 different languages in 66 books. I know some people will say, well, what about the books that not included in the Bible? Obviously, God chose not to include them. In His sovereign knowledge, He chose not to. Who are we to say, well, you should have put that thing in there? Your opinion, my opinion, doesn't count. You don't like it, you can step out of God's universe. Make your own universe, make your own Bible. As long as we are under His domain, we do what He says. Why do we do that? Because we are Christian. We are the follower of Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? Best way to understand the Bible is using Bible. I'll show you. When you see the verse, you have a hard time understanding. Instead of grabbing the first commentary book you can find and try this method. Use the concordance at the back of the Bible. Many of you have that concordance in the back of your Bible. Or the big fat concordance, about this thick one. Use that to find the verses, the cross-reference verses. Or the cross-reference verses from Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. That's another big, thick book. Or you can use, many of you guys have the same kind of thing like I have. In between the two columns of your Bible, there is a little margin with the tiny letters that you can hardly read, right? And you pull out your magnifying glass. That's kind of miniaturized Treasury of Scripture Knowledge with the cross-reference Bible verses. By using that, you can comprehend the Bible, how to understand Bible verses. This morning's study is the case in point. The word speak in verse 34 in Greek word is a laleo. It is most familiar Greek word for the speaking used in 24 times in this chapter 14. Often with a reference to common everyday talk. Not prophecy, just simply talking. Although we are created equal, woman had been placed in the subjection of two men. When God created humans, He created two at the beginning. Am I correct? Which one first, male or female? You all agree? Which one is the second one? Female. It's not the female with the male attitude or the man with the female attitude. God only created two, male or female. So when He created it, He put the man and the first responsibility, more than responsibility. Therefore, they have no right to assume the role of authority, whether it's a message of teaching from the behind the pulpit or a disturbing comment from the pew. Again, keep your finger in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let your woman learn in silence with all submission. Verse 12. And I do not permit woman to teach or to have authority over man, but to be in silence. I know some of you will say, well, for crying out loud, grow up, this is 21st century. Show me one place in the Bible says When this comes to the 21st century, you can change this portion of the Bible. Do you see it? Do you know why this Bible is always relevant? It doesn't deal with human culture or civilization. Rather, it deals with human nature. Human nature, it doesn't matter what kind of country, what kind of culture, what kind of timeline it is, it always stays the same. God knew that because He created them. Let me give, since we are in 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 3. Did I say chapter 2? Alright, let's try this. Chapter 3, verse 2. Maybe I'm a dyslexic. Chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, we will read it from the verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desired the position of bishop, which is an elder, he desired a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. It says, the husband of what? One wife. Temperate, sober mind, and of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent. Stop there, please. In other words, there is no Bruce Jenner, no the, what's the, Caitlyn Jenner. Okay? It's a man with a one wife. I know some denomination because if a man went through a divorce, that person cannot be a pastor. What it meant is that this man should not have a wife and girlfriend and concubine. Are you with me on that? Just one wife. Man, female, a man, biological male. Word of God is clearly written. Again, so there are some people say, well, it's only one place. Okay, since you asked that, go to Titus, please. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Again, qualification of the elder. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that you are lacking. Appoint elders in every city as I command you. If a man is blameless and husband of one wife. There it is again. In other words, the pastor and elders must be a man, not woman who think she is a man. It does not change whether it's the 21st century or the 1st century or the 2nd century. Are you with me on that? At a glance, this seemed to be a blanket command that women are never allowed to speak at all in the church. However, earlier in this same epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, Apostle Paul mentioned the situation where the women are allowed to pray in public and pray and prophesy in the assembled congregation. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 34 and 35 must be done in absolute, must not be an absolute command for a woman to remain silent at all time in all services. Prohibition must be limited to some way by the context. Again, the context. In the ancient world, let me explain cultural background. In the ancient world, just as some modern culture, if you go to Africa, you will see this. It's one side is a male, the other side is female. What about the husband and wife? They come in through the door. They have to go in the separate directions. Male sat in the one section, female sat in the other section. Among the Christians in Corinth, there seemed to have been a problem, woman chattering during the service and disturbing the service with a question. Like in the middle of the service, she didn't get it, so she called out her husband, "Hey, Felix, I didn't get it. What did he say?" In other words, do not do that. Ask him at home. Especially when it comes to the ancient Greek women. They tend to be more outgoing than other races. Paul is saying, do not disturb the service. Ask questions at home to your husband. In the Jewish synagogue, same thing. Man and woman had a separate sitting. If a woman chattered or called out the husband in the sitting far off, she would be dealt with a severe punishment. The Corinth church must adopt the same kind of sitting arrangement. And what with the many women from the Gentile background, they did not know how to conduct themselves in the church services. And Paul is teaching them now. Do you know, let me ask you this, now bring it back, all your attention back to the 21st century. Do you know any churches have a female pastor and female leadership dominant? Do you? We all know. And many Pentecostal churches, pastors' wives also has a name, a title, pastor. It says pastors and John and Jane Doe. And then you may say, well, what's wrong with that? Biblically wrong. Clearly, the churches with the female leadership cut across the grain of the scripture. Sure sign that they are not taking the principle of scripture to heart. If they are compromising this, what is the next portion of the scripture they are going to compromise? As I told you this before, the Word of God, this is not a buffet table. Okay? You cannot pick and choose the way you want and say, I like this portion, but I do not like. Do you know who used to do that? Thomas Jefferson, our founding forefather. He didn't like that this portion, particular portion of the Bible, so he cut it out with the scissors. There's a word for that. Moron. As if, because Thomas Jefferson, former president of the United States, cut out that portion of the scripture, so he thinks that he's eliminating the truth from the Word of God. Seriously? It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you agree or not agree. Whether you agree or not, truth stands. Are you with me? Where was I? Oh, I got excited. Verse 36, please. Or did the Word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only it reached? If anyone think himself to be prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. I love this guy. The Corinthian believers saw themselves as a pace setter, an originator of the truth, and the first to receive God's instruction. Because, why? Why did they think themselves there so highly? Because they had many spiritual gifts, as we read before. Since they had many spiritual gifts, they thought, wow, I must be special, we are special. Your kid, had many Christmas present, right? Yes, no. And you're thinking, I'm a kid, I didn't get a whole lot. Well, talk to your mommy and daddy. Those children, do they have a right to receive present? Honestly, tell me, do they have a right to receive present? Do they? It's up to you, father and mother, grandpa and grandparents, out of your love and generosity, you give it to them. We as a spiritual gift receiver, what have we got to do with the gift? If we deserve to receive that, either that is a payment or does God owe us? Am I correct? Does God owe us anything? So what do we have to boast about? We have absolutely nothing. But somehow these Corinthian people thought they are something when they are nothing. They consider themselves special and more spiritual instead of being grateful for the Lord, to the Lord for His blessing. So Apostle Paul responded their elitist spirit with a sarcastic bite. What an audacity the Corinthians had to assume that it all started with the Corinth. Yet these self-inflated, prideful, and self-deceived believers were not even following God's instruction properly. As the apostle pointed out to them, if they ignore the fact that his teaching was from the Lord, in turn, they would be ignored. So Paul is considering that perhaps some of the Corinthian Christians might want to debate with him on this matter. He would have none of it. The Word of God did not come from the Corinthian Christians. It came from Paul. He's the one who brought the gospel message to them. They need to sit and listen and be teachable instead of arguing with the Apostle Paul. Listen, some people think that they are really spiritual. They don't have to obey the God's word on the matter that they need to remain humble. In their own mind, they are so spiritual, the rules don't apply to them. But if they are not, they are really spiritual, they will stick to the word of God and not go beyond it and stay humble. There's nothing more dangerous. Listen carefully, please. There's nothing more dangerous than spiritual pride. It comes into the heart of the brand new Christian as well as a seasoned faithful believer. As long as we have this sinful body, pride is right there within our heart to replace the humble adoration of God with the sinful presence with any type of lame excuses. Are you with me on that? Are you? A competing ego in Christianity is not only self-made a trap, but also become a poison for oneself as well as those who are around that person. It has no place in the ministry. Easy to say, but extremely difficult to control. Go down to verse 39, please. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with the tongues. Let all things done decently and in order. Stop there, please. Paul, in his excellence, he sums up the entire chapter 14 in two verses. I wish I can do that. When you came together as a church, it's far better to be a blessing to someone else. Therefore, the prophecy is much more useful than tongue. Paul will carefully regulate, even discourage the use of tongue in the church. He would not forbid it. At the same time, he will greatly encourage its use in one's personal devotion. I still remember the time when we visited one church. Whole church was speaking in tongue. Whole church. And by the encouragement of the pastor, it was like I was standing in the middle of the marketplace, especially the South Korean market. It's wrong. I don't care what denomination rules they try to apply or whatever the tradition they were using. If it goes against the Word of God, it is wrong. When the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to unscriptural focus, it discredits the true work of the Holy Spirit, and often leads to other people to deny the gift because they see a biblical lack of moderation and balance. A good example is a main denomination like Baptist, Presbyterians, Methodists. They despise anyone speaking in tongue. They even say that if you're speaking in tongue, you're a part of the demonic work. And the charismatic people would call them their not truly spiritual. A church worship service ought to be biblical, meaningful, and humbling experience. It should be encouraging and have a spontaneity that Holy Spirit delight to prompt. All of this without trace of a confusion. In some church services, they throw honesty and dignity right out the window for the sake of a temporary emotional hype that fans their ego. They give a little thought to a proper biblical way of worshiping the Lord, based on right or wrong at all, and on their own experience. Just because they feel that since many people speaking in tongue and numerous prophecy without biblical guidelines, somehow they think that the Holy Spirit is moving within them, and thus they choose to believe that they are more spiritual than those who follow Scripture, what the Scripture says. There must be liberty in our worship gathering, but there must be no disorder. The God of peace must be worshipped in peace, order, truth, and in spirit. Spiritual gift is an issue that has been greatly divided the body of Jesus Christ theologically, spiritually, and physically. There are some who think that they have all the gift. All the gift is, Holy Spirit gifts is being used. And there are some people, denominations saying only a portion of the Spirit's been, spiritual gift has been used. But they all agree one thing. They all agree one thing. Spiritual gift is still available. Mostly, they all agree on one thing, two things. Administration and teaching. Any nature of the miracles, speaking in tongues, healing, prophecy, it divides, it makes a wide spectrum of gamma. We must understand this issue. The source of power behind all spiritual gift is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His power to overcome sin and death is at work in every believer, granting us access to God and enabling us to serve Him effectively. The switch that activates the power in our lives is God's grace. Are you with me on that? Are you awake? Without God's grace, we have nothing. The next chapter of this book happened to be the topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you, this Apostle Paul knows how to write. But then again, he's writing under the inspiration of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. I have one application for you. There must be liberty in our worship gathering, and there must be no disorder. The God of peace must be worshipped in peace, order, truth, and in spirit. Let's stand up and pray.